Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with eight kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Mom Hour. I am Sarah Powers, here as always with Megan Francis. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Sarah. How's it going?
It's going good. It's Sunday, and we are here for one of our More Than Mom episodes. These are the shows where we step outside of motherhood and parenting and talk about
whatever.
pop culture, lifestyle topics, sometimes beauty, fashion, a lot of nostalgia. We like to go back in time, although that's not what we're doing today. Today, we are talking about the apps on our smartphones and just kind of chatting about what the apps are on our phone, which ones we're loving, which ones we wish would exist or wish would improve. And it's kind of fun. I know that we probably organize the apps on our phone a little bit differently.
You think?
maybe.
I love that on the outline you put something about how do you organize your apps? And I wrote, organize my apps? Like, why would I do that?
We will get into that.
We will.
In true revealing fashion of our personality differences.
And I have to say, speaking of More Than Mom, I have to apologize a little bit. I'm a little hoarse because I went out for my friend Liz's birthday last night and we ended up doing karaoke in a dive bar and I did only hair metal the whole night.
I love that. Well, you sound good to me right now, but when we first started voxing earlier today, I thought you had a cold and I have had like back-to-back colds that luckily have happened on the off days when we're not recording. So I'm doing pretty good, but I was like, oh no, you have a cold. And you were like, no, I was screaming into a karaoke mic.
Yeah, I did Sweet Child of Mine and I did not hold back. And that end of that song is vocally challenging. So,
I mean,
I did bring the house down.
You
though.
Left it all out at Babes.
I left it all out. Yep.
Babes is the name of
it. And I wasn't even at Babes. I was a totally different place last night. So it was totally different crowd, new people. It's a lot of fun.
Wow.
But I'm a little hoarse today.
Okay. Well, that's a good reason to be hoarse. Yeah. Okay. So we're going to get into lots of talk about apps, but why don't you set up our first sponsor first?
Sure. We are really excited to introduce a new sponsor, Buffy. So I've talked about on the show before that I have a thing for bedding and I'm really picky about what I will sleep on top or under. So I was eager to give Buffy a try because I read they have like 11,000 reviews, mostly people raving about how soft and fluffy Buffy comforters are. So what's really cool is that Buffy is made from a different kind of material than a typical comforter. The outside shell is 100% eucalyptus fiber, which I didn't know this is. First of all, I did know it's soft because I touched it and it really is. But it's made from a more renewable plant, so it's less wasteful than cotton and other materials that are typically in bedding. It's also hypoallergenic. And then get this, the interior is made from recycled plastic bottles.
This is unbelievable. Seriously.
They get transformed into this like super soft, fluffy fiber. It really does feel like a down comforter.
Yes.
Every Buffy comforter keeps about 50 bottles out of landfills and oceans, which I love. And it's such a super soft, fluffy comforter that doesn't get so hot like a lot of bedspreads do.
Well, I was like you. I saw all of these raving reviews. And to be honest, sometimes that sets you up. It's a little bit hard because you're like, how can this comforter really be that good? So I was preparing myself for any kind of reaction. And then I got it. And it's so much better than any comforter I've ever had. Not exaggerating. The best part is that my husband and I have very different preferences when it comes to sleep temperature and blankets. Yep. But we have both been sleeping comfortably under it. And I was actually using a duvet shell as a bedspread for the last few years, like the kind that's meant to have a comforter inserted. And I just didn't have one.
You get too hot or something.
Yeah,
so you don't put anything
in
it.
I was using it as like a plain bedspread and now it has my Buffy comforter in it. And I just feel like my bed is fluffier and like more complete. I'm so happy.
Everybody wants a soft and fluffy bed and we're going to help you get one. So Buffy actually offers a complimentary trial so that you can see if it's the right choice for you. So you can try a comforter at your home for 30 days. And if you don't love it, you can return it for free. And we're going to get you $20 off that Buffy comforter to get started. So go to buffy.co and enter the Mom Hour at checkout and you'll get $20 off your Buffy comforter. Again, that's buffy.co, not .com, and enter the Mom Hour at checkout for $20 off.
You'll be so cozy. You'll love it. Okay. Well, fitting that we're talking about apps today, because we are also welcoming back Remindvine as a sponsor today. And Remindvine is a totally genius app. It's an app that allows you to set reminders on other people's phones, which I just
the power.
Only a mom could come up with that. So we know as household managers, we've got our own to-do list, but we are also often kind of farming out tasks to other members of our family. And when those members start to have their own devices, how cool would it be to set up reminders? You can set up group reminders, recurring reminders for a future date, and have those things pop up on your lovely family members' phones.
I love this. And it's such an awesome idea for parents with kids who are maybe becoming a little more independent. I know for mine, they're getting older. So they're not in front of me as much. And we're also in a divorced family. So there are several days a week I just don't see my kids, maybe for a little bit after school, but like I'm just not in front of them to be able to physically say these things out loud.
Right.
And sometimes it's really hard to stay on the same page. So I'm like thinking about using this to literally remind them when they're with their dad to check in with me about weekend plans so I can get things on the calendar, or to check in with me and let me know if they're, you know, how they did their test or whatever. Like they forget sometimes I exist when they're not in front of me. And this is just a good way to stay in front of them.
And you might forget at that moment to check in with them. I love that you can kind of do it when you're in that headspace of organization. We all know what that's like. Okay. So it's just $1.99 for the whole family. There's no in-app purchases or any kind of add-on sale. So $1.99 and all the members of your family can use it. You guys can check it out in the iOS App Store or on Google Play. Again, you're just going to search Remindvine wherever you get your mobile apps. Okay.
Very nice.
You ready to talk apps?
I'm ready.
I'm going to drive the bus this time. So I have some questions for you.
You have a lot of questions here.
I do. And we may not get to them
prepared.
All. I mean, we'll see what happens. Okay. So the first basic question is, what kind of phone do you have right now? And is that what you've always had?
I have an Apple 8.
Okay.
S.
You have the big one.
Version of the 8. Yeah.
8
the
plus, big one. I think, is
8
yours.
8 plus, yeah. I have had iPhones since, I want to say, like 2012, something like that. Up until then, I did have, I had Androids, a variety of different ones. And I mean, but this was like back when, I don't remember if I ever had a smartphone that wasn't an iPhone.
Yeah, where apps were like a thing. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like what I had the phone I had last before my first iPhone was like one of those little ones with a slide up keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Samsung, I think. And I wasn't particularly, like, I didn't feel like I needed to have an iPhone. I really, when I was married, I really let John drive all of our technology decisions, and I didn't really care much as long as I had a chance to, like, ease in to a new thing. So, yeah, so that's what I've got, and I've had it for a long time.
Okay.
It would be hard for me to go to a different platform now.
I think so. I agree. So I'm kind of similar. I have the iPhone. I call it the 10. I know people call it the X. I don't know. I mean, X is for 10. So it is the latest iPhone. I decided not to do the plus, the larger size like you have, but I have the 10, the X.
Okay.
And we do the upgrade plan where technically you can upgrade once a year if you want to for like $99. And Brian likes to get new phones as often as possible. I don't usually do it once a year, but usually if there's a new one that comes, I probably get a new phone every year and a half to 2 years, I would say.
Yeah. I'm kind of getting due for one. I think mine is, it's over a year old, but I just don't know how old over a year old. It's completely smashed.
I know.
And I keep meaning to get the glass repaired, but if I'm going to go through all that, I might as well just wait. And, you know,
if it's working for you.
Exactly.
Okay. So speaking of Apple devices, tell me briefly how you feel about Apple versus Android, or I actually put Apple versus Google because I have thoughts on that. Either like if you have opinions or if you have preferences, if you have a loyalty toward one or the other, and is this changed?
I tend to go with whatever's like easiest and whatever's I'm used to. I have always used Google products since Gmail came out. I mean, I was really early adopter to both Gmail and Google Suite, or, you know, not actually
calendar
Google Suite, but their suite of services.
Right.
I've used them for well over a decade.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that they work pretty well with my Apple phone for my needs. But like, I now think that I would have, and then I'm always Apple, I always have a Mac computer. Now, when I was married to John, we called it I'm trying to remember, the constant parlay. He was really great at having like somehow rotating new technology into our family without actually directly paying for
it. Well, and that was his business, right?
He was an
IT consulting. Yeah.
Yeah. And he would like, he wasn't stealing it off the back of a truck
it
or whatever.
Just magically came
into
it
would be
house.
More like he'd have a really rich client who would get sick of their MacBook and they'd want a new one and they really didn't want to deal with it. So they'd be like, take this away.
Right.
And so, or he'd buy it really cheap. But like, we got so much free stuff. So I kind of fell into using Macs. And now it's a little bit different. Like when I had to replace my computer, it hurt to pay
to buy
that
a Mac.
Much. I mean, the business bought it, but like it hurt. You know, I was like, ugh. Like I know that I could get a Dell or like a, a ThinkPad or something like so much cheaper. But I do like that. Like I used that MacBook Air since 2011. I couldn't believe it when I looked
up.
When I saw what year it was, like, I think the reason I finally had to was it wouldn't run certain software.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, how is this possible? It's not that old. It's in great shape. And I looked and it was 2011. That's a long time. That's 8 years to have a laptop with the abuse I put them through. And so I do have a certain amount of loyalty. However, I do think that like the price point has become more of an issue for me now than it used to be.
I hear you. Well, I'm the same. So we tend to be Apple for devices. That includes phones and computers. We also have Apple TV. But I really like Google for software and like open, I don't know if open source, if I'm using that word correctly, but just like their ability to just, I just like Google. I like Google software and services. And that does bring up issues at times. We can get into photo apps later if we get into it, but I prefer Google Photos. I actually love Google Photos. I love that I can open my Google Photos and search for something like clover. I wrote an essay for our newsletter subscribers last week about a four-leaf clover. And there's smart search, things like that. Like the smart searching capability of Google is in your Google Photos. And I can't rave enough about the way I use Google Photos to stay organized and share. But I will say that if you're an iPhone and Mac person, it requires extra steps. It just does.
It does.
Because
it's not
Apple would
it's
like
not
you to use the Photos app, and they have they have photo sharing. They have a lot of the same things. I just don't like it as much.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of stubbornly between those two things. And I just think it's an interesting, I don't know, interesting thing to discuss. I've never had non-Apple devices, but I persistently keep my allegiance to non-Apple. Like I don't really like I don't like iCloud. I don't do any iCloud storage. Yeah. I don't like Apple Music. I don't use any of that. I use other things. So.
And don't you get annoyed like when your computer wants to desperately wants to open something in iTunes and you're like, no, I didn't mean to do that. And then you have to shut it down. You're so annoyed. You see the icon bouncing at the bottom in your toolbar. I've actually had an experience last week where I was, 2 weeks ago, I blocked Facebook on my Chrome on my computer, which was easy. There was literally no way to do it on my phone on Chrome. Like it would not.
Oh,
like,
interesting.
The extension wouldn't play with Chrome on my phone. And then I actually had to Google it and I was like, no, you can't do it. So I think I just logged out.
They do. Sometimes they fight with each other, the Safari and the Chrome and I'm still, in fact, the more time that goes by, the more stubborn I am about it. Because I just don't care for most of Apple's
services. I don't think
services.
Apple puts a lot of attention into their services. That, it doesn't feel like they're done.
It's that, definitely. And some are better than others. I mean, let's not get into how bad the Apple Podcasts app is. Will they cancel us for saying it? I don't know.
I mean, I'm going to talk about how I still use it. So
okay. Continue. All right. We'll get into that. But okay. So moving on.
Oh, wait. I'm not quite done. I have one more thought.
Okay.
Every time, though, all that said, my kids do have Android devices. My ex had an Android device. Like he went off iPad or iPhone a while ago. And every time I've picked up an Android phone and tried to use it, it's like I'm an alien. I cannot make the dang thing work. Like it doesn't make any sense. It's like using an old IBM, like where nothing is as easy as Apple makes it. That's where Apple really shines.
Yes.
Is making things so easy to use
interfaces.
That you become stupid. Like,
yes.
Because you become less able to do it without them like making it so easy on you. So
it's so true. Brian had to go from a work Mac to a work non-Mac. I won't even shout out the brand because it's fine. It's a pretty popular one. But he like every once in a while he's doing work at home and I just hear him over there like grumbling and fighting with his device. And yes. Love my Apple devices. Okay, so moving on, this just came up. What app do you listen to podcasts on?
So do you remember when you made me and or strongly encouraged me to download Pocket Cast?
You asked for advice. I don't even think it was forceful.
Okay, well, whatever it was, I paid like $4 to get Pocket Casts and I downloaded it on my phone and I got on it and I said, Sarah, you're correct. Pocket Casts is without a doubt better than Apple Podcasts app. But guess what I still do?
Just out of habit? Podcasts.
Because all the podcasts I want to listen to are already there and I get notifications.
Okay.
And I never got in the habit of using the new one. So it didn't occur to me. And then when I'd go in it, it didn't look what, like what I was used to, and it didn't have all the same shows yet. And
it's
just
like going back to an old boyfriend that's not good for you.
Oh, it is. But you know what it also is like? It's like every time I think to fire up a podcast, I'm already doing the thing I want to listen to the podcast for.
Yeah.
Like I'm already in the car and I just want to grab it and go. I didn't want to have to like go through the time. You know how I am about setup. I don't like setting up new technology. I don't like setting up new devices. I don't like that stage at all. So for me to put the work in to make it work for me quickly, I just didn't.
Sometime when we're together, I'll just like, you can pour me a glass of wine and I just like to set up everything the way that it works.
I will do that.
Well. It's like a hobby of mine. I'll organize your Google photos too.
Thanks, they need them.
I do use Pocket Casts. It's a pretty popular one. The funny thing is, over the 4 years we've done this show, every once in a while we'll have some kind of glitch. Somebody says, hey, your show's not playing on Stitcher, or I listen on Overcast and I'm getting an error. So one time, maybe 6 months or a year ago, I went through and I put every major podcast listening app on my phone and subscribed to our show. On them. I don't have notifications for all of them, but it is helpful. Every once in a while, there's some kind of glitch. We had one not long ago, and then I can easily bop around and see how our show is playing, what it looks like, So I have this little folder on my phone of podcast listening apps, and I have literally all of them, but I personally use Pocket Casts. All right. Next question. How do you organize your app?
How do you organize your apps?
I
don't organize my apps.
So when you add a new one, it just goes to the end. So how many swipes through on your phone?
That's not fair. Like I do. So I have 3 swipes.
Okay.
I have moved things around before if I want them to be less visible to me. Like if I want to use something less, I tend to put it at the end.
Yeah.
And I did group all of my Google icons together. Actually, I think I missed one. I missed 2. I had this thing where I'm not capable of seeing the Google Home, the Drive, or the Google Photos app. Like, I don't see them. I will go through my phone. Chrome, not the same. I can totally see that. And Hangouts, I can totally see. I feel like there's something about the design of Home, Drive, and Google Photos, and Google Maps to some degree, that to my eye, they become invisible.
Right.
They look a lot like other apps.
Yeah.
There's a lot of white space.
Right.
And they just don't stand out to me. So every time, and I don't use them that often. So then when I would have to use them, I would like literally be like, what's wrong with me?
Right. I have certain things like that too. It's so interesting that it's just Google for you. Like, I wonder if it's like a design motif or something that just doesn't pop out to you.
I think it's because they're too samesies. They're too samesy. Like they're all kind of rainbow colored and geometric shapes and a lot of white around the edges. And Google Calendar is the other one.
Right.
I love Google Calendar's app.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, I forget to open it in that and end up opening it in my default Apple Calendar half the time. And then like, sometimes it doesn't even like put all my stuff in there. And I'm like, wait, I know this is in here. And then if I go to Google, it's there.
Okay. So, well, that answered other questions too. Like if you have a preferred calendar app, what about Mail? Do you use the Mail?
I just use the Mail app.
Okay.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah. I actually use the Calendar one too, but I do have all my calendars. They're all Google based, but they all do sync correctly with Mac. So they're
something's
fine.
Going on with mine. Like one of them is not.
Yeah.
And I think it's yours and mine. It doesn't, somehow it's not playing well with the Apple
comes
calendar.
Back to Apple and Google. Well, while you were chatting, I just dropped a photo in our show outline of how I organize my apps. Can you see it?
Oh my. You have so many folders. Do you ever feel
like...
But
I only have one page. That's the only page.
I don't know. Do you ever feel like it adds an extra step that you don't want to do?
So I have gone back and forth with the folders over the years, and I was actually anti-folder for a while. Like when they first came out, I did it and I grouped them. And then I didn't like it because of the extra step. But since I went to one page, I think it was having multiple pages and multiple folders, but having only one page. So everything is right there. And I've just gotten used to where things are and the labels are really clear. And so I have had this for almost exactly a year and I haven't tweaked it. So I've really liked it and it just looks really clean. And the only notifications are those 2 from Voxer that won't go away.
I have 4 from Voxer that won't go away.
I've spent like an embarrassing amount of time Googling that glitch.
Truly, it drives me nuts. And the thing is, I don't really care that much about notifications, but like I use Voxer so much that it drives me nuts to think there might be a message I haven't listened to, but I know it's not true. I know it's
Okay, well, we should, I guess I should tell the folks listening what you're looking at.
Oh,
but
right.
It is a single, so it's a single page of multiple grouped folders. You can drag your apps into folders on iOS, and they're labeled, they're all labeled one word that is real like obvious. So like books, mm-hmm. cache, chat. Chat includes things like Facebook Messenger, FaceTime, Google Hangouts, Voxer. So it's, I don't know, it makes sense for my brain. Some of the groups have just a couple and some have a lot. And then I always like settings to live by itself. So settings is the only thing that's not in a folder. And then the four at the bottom are phone, mail, text, and camera. So
settings is another app I have a hard time locating when I need it.
Oh, interesting.
I would. Okay, so here's a question for you.
Yeah.
If you had a new app in your life, and the categories that I tend to find these apps fall under are usually things I want to start using, but I need to like make it a habit, like a health
yeah.
app or like maybe a productivity app, something
yeah.
like that. Do you find that having them in folders gets them out of sight, out of mind, and then you forget to use them?
Maybe sometimes. So usually when I add a new app, it will, like if you see the little three dots, there technically is a second page right now.
Okay.
And I think the only things that are on there was something I was looking at for work, but probably wouldn't like use for myself. Like I was doing research yeah. on it. And then, so basically that second page is almost like a temporary holding ground. I might keep a new app there that I was like testing out, but then I would move it into a folder. But yeah, you would run the risk of it being a little bit out of sight, out of mind. I might just have to have other ways to
remind you.
Yeah.
One other question now that I'm looking at
yeah.
this, and this is going to be a regional difference. I'm just very interested as a person in Southern California. How often do you check your weather app?
Oh, we've talked about this. I check the weather all the time. I mean, I know we have different weather, but it's still, there's something, you just got to know what the weather is. And I also, within my weather app, I have multiple cities of where like people I love live. Like I have your town listed.
Oh, I do too. Yeah.
And yeah. And then, you know, places where my in-laws are. And so I can look through the weather in other places. But I check the weather quite a lot. We also use Google. We ask Google the weather a lot too in the morning. Now we're in the middle of our winter. It's been raining like every other day for a month and a half. So we do need to know. But yeah, I mean, it's less extreme than yours.
Yeah. I become pretty obsessive about it this time of year.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I like to keep in touch. I open my weather app probably twice a day.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I will post this picture in the show notes so you guys can see what we're looking at. But I'm going to move on to the next question. So this is a quickie. When you get a new phone, do you back up your apps and bring everything over, or do you scorch earth?
So I had to remember, like I had to think back because it's been a while since I got a new phone. I think this last time I did do a backup and brought things over, but I don't know that I intended to do that because I really like it to be a fresh start.
I do
feel
too.
Like I like the idea that I can just download whatever I want and get rid of apps yeah. that I don't use and stuff like that. But the last time I didn't, and I don't even know who initiated that. Would it have been on the Verizon end? Or would I have done that with my phone?
It's usually I usually go into the Apple store is how I get new phones. Do you go to the Verizon store? So I don't know, but it's usually in the store that they ask you if they want to transfer.
Well, I did it. I had it mailed to me last time. Like I ordered it online.
Oh, that's interesting. So usually when you do that, you are starting fresh. But I mean, if you sank it.
I wonder if I think I might have sanked it. I think I sunk it.
If you did,
I sunk it
with a computer, then it could have brought it over. But I usually like a fresh start. Although now looking at this organization system, that would be kind of a lot
to have to redo.
Yeah, I did that on like a 5-hour plane ride and I've been really happy with it. So I might have to rethink that. I would at least screenshot it so that I could remember kind of the structure. Okay. So what app do you think that you use the most in a given day?
Probably mail most days, but on days when you and I are having like tons of conversation, probably Voxer.
So mail is interesting to me because you don't really like to reply to mail on
you always
look at it.
But I keep abreast of what I have in. Yeah. It's at the bottom of your phone where you have like the four ones that you like to just be. I have mail is definitely.
Do you get a notification when a new one comes in or do you have to check? I don't either. I would have to check. Okay. Okay. So now do you have your phone with you?
I do.
Okay. So we're going to do this together. Ready? Go to settings.
Okay. I got to find it for some to find the settings app. I found it.
Okay. So scroll down a little bit to battery. It's green.
Okay.
Okay. Wait, it takes a second to. Okay. So now click last 10 days.
I only have last 7 days.
Oh, that's
last
fine.
24 hours. Okay. Last 7
weird.
Days.
That's so funny. Mine says last 10. And then scroll down below those little bars and click show activity. So one is battery usage and one is activity.
Oh, mine just, it came up. I didn't even have to click it.
Oh, okay. Okay. So yours is activity by app?
Yep.
Okay. For the last 7 days. So what is the most used?
Boxer.
So is mine.
19%. Next one is Chrome, okay. Which could mean for me, because I deleted the Facebook app, unfortunately, a lot of that's probably Facebook, but a lot of it is search. I do a lot of mindless searching on my phone.
Okay.
I read a lot of articles on my phone.
Okay.
Stuff like that.
Okay. What's after Chrome?
Home and lock screen.
Okay.
15%. I don't even know what that means.
So mine, like
I'm just literally touching my lock screen.
Mine. So you don't see activity by app. Mine are in hours, not percentage. So if I click battery usage, it's percentage.
Oh, if I click the little clock, it shows me.
Activity. Okay.
It shows me. Yeah. Okay. So 5 hours on Voxer. Oh my goodness. And that doesn't include the fact that I also use it on my computer. On my desktop.
Yeah.
On my computer. 3.9 hours on Chrome.
Okay.
25 minutes in the background.
Yeah.
Home screen. Oh, I think that just means it's at the lock screen for 11 hours.
Yeah.
And
I guess
then after that. 3.9 hours mail, 3.8 hours messages. That's a lot, actually.
So
I don't text that much.
Does that surprise you that Voxer's number one?
No.
Okay, me neither.
Not even a little bit. I am surprised by how much I'm sending texts. Like, that's a lot of texting, and I'm not a huge texter.
Yeah. Interesting.
So, huh.
Well, okay. So mine is Voxer is number one, and then Instagram is number two. And Facebook is number three. And I don't even think I don't feel like I use Facebook a lot, but well, but this is telling me I do.
Yeah.
And then Pocket Casts, which is where I listen to podcasts, is number four, which is kind of a good thing. I use that a lot. And then mail is even below that.
You know, it's funny is like my podcast app right now only shows 4 minutes, which it does not seem very accurate, but my smart speaker or not my smart speaker, my boom speaker broke.
Okay.
So the only speaker I have right now in my house is my Google Home, which I do not think works at all well with podcasts.
Uh-huh.
So I play them on my computer.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
If I'm in my kitchen or whatever, listening to podcasts, I just put on my computer because it's louder.
Yeah, that makes sense. So. And this is only the last 7 days. So
right.
That time frame. So I thought that was interesting. Okay. So we're going to take a quick break and then get into some more kind of rapid fire questions. So
okay.
I am happy to be welcoming back our sponsor, UCI's Division of Continuing Education. That's the University of California, Irvine, right down the road from me. So we know that there's a lot of you out there who are thinking about making career changes or getting back into the workforce after some time at home with little kids. So we're excited to tell you about what they've got going on at their Division of Continuing Ed. It's a program that makes it possible for moms to further their education in a way that works for families and is super flexible. So a ton of their programs actually happen online. They're flexible. They have different time options, but they still offer that real immersive online classroom experience where you get to collaborate with peers and learn from expert instructors with industry experience. They have got certificate programs and specialized studies programs, everything from business to IT, healthcare, finance, and law, and you can advance your career in as little as 6 months. And the fact that it's online makes it possible to get all those new skills and advance your career from wherever you live. So spring quarter is coming up and registration is open. You're going to head to ce.uci.edu/podcast and enter the promo code podcast for 15% off one course. It's only going to be valid till the end of this month, March 31st, 2019. And there are some exceptions, so check out the details on their site. Again, it's ce.uci.edu/podcast and enter the code podcast to save 15% off one course.
Okay, guys, it's also time to talk about FabFitFun again. I feel like a broken record here, but seriously, if you haven't tried the seasonal subscription box yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. Every time I get one of these boxes, I realize how much I love getting this little surprise once every few months. And just as a reminder, if you haven't heard us talk about it before, FabFitFun is a seasonal subscription box that features full-size beauty, fitness, fashion, and lifestyle products. There's always at least $200 worth of product in the box, but the box itself retails for under $50, so it's a really great value. And there's always brands and products I probably wouldn't think to buy myself, so it's been a great way to stay on top of, like, you know, what the kids these days are using.
Oh,
or
right. Totally.
Younger people who know, who can still stay in touch with brands and things. It's just such a treat. So you can also customize what comes in your box. And after you sign up, you'll take a quiz that has all your style and beauty preferences. So the products are always a great fit for you. We recently got our spring boxes and I'm in love with the champagne charcoal scrub. It smells so good. And I actually just used the last of my Moroccan hair mask from the winter box, I think yesterday. Yes. I loved it so much. Honestly, it made my hair feel amazing. And I'm probably going to buy a replacement. I loved it that much.
Yeah, I have a couple like that too. The hand cream from a few boxes ago that I will definitely buy again.
Okay, so we're going to give you $10 off your first box. Go to fabfitfun.com and use the coupon code TheMomHour. Again, you're going to get $10 off your first box. So $39 for this amazing box. If you go to fabfitfun.com and use the code TheMomHour.
Do it, guys. So good. The spring box was really, really awesome.
It really was great.
Okay. So my next set of questions are a little more rapid fire and just all over the map. Some fun ones. So I'm going to start with this one. What's the weirdest or most unexpected app on your phone?
So I have the Audubon bird watching app.
Okay.
I got it because this summer I did a lot of like camping and kayaking and stuff. And I kept seeing birds I didn't know existed. And my sister was like, oh, I have the Audubon app on my phone. And so I put it on my phone. And I will say it has come in handy a few times.
I like that. I like that. I actually don't specifically have one for this because, as we've discussed, mine are pretty well curated. But I will think if I think by the end of the episode, if there's an unexpected app, I will let you know. Okay. So what is an app that you want to have it work for you or you want to use it more, but you just can't?
Do you have one? Do you want to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay, go ahead.
This is Google Keep. Now we've just talked about how great Google's suite of services and apps are. And I have heard more than one very smart, organized, kind of like-minded person looking at you, Kelsey, from the girl next door, rave about Google Keep. And somebody else just talked about it on Facebook the other day. And I don't like it. So what it is, it's a note-taking and kind of, you know, cloud-based note-taking app. So if you wanted to jot something down on your phone and then it's there on your computer. And I, years ago, started using Evernote very casually. I don't use Evernote to the degree that people do. I mean, people kind of have their whole life organized in Evernote. And I never got into it at that level. But I do have, I have a little folder in Evernote called recipes that I have some stuff tucked away. And I keep some passwords, which I probably shouldn't, but things like that. And every time I would hear about Google Keep, I would want to move everything from Evernote because I like that it's Google and I like that. And I don't like it. It doesn't do quite enough. Like, sometimes I'll write, if we're writing a little mini essay for Instagram or something for the blog, I like to like park writing like that somewhere where I'm not going to keep it because it's going to go somewhere else in a few minutes, but just while I'm typing. And you can't format, so you can't use like bold or italics in Google Keep. Mm. You can't, you can save links, but you can't bookmark a link and put it in the same note as another link. So let's say I wanted to have a Google Keep note with podcasts I wanted to check out in the future. It's not easy to do that without a bunch of copy paste. So there's like things about it that I just want to be good and it's not good. So that's mine.
I was very similar about Evernote and it's not, I think Evernote's a great product. I just never used it. I kept thinking I was going to get into it and I use it
for like four things, passwords, things that I need to play.
You need a place to stash them, but you don't need to be interacting.
Exactly. And I don't like searching my email for everything. And we use Google Drive all the time and we have a lot of Google Docs, but that requires pulling it up and having a browser tab open. And I don't like a lot of browser tabs open. So what I want, and this is getting more into, I guess, computer apps, but it's the same for phone apps. I want like a parking lot, a place that I could copy and paste some stuff and then put it where I need it later. And I do, I mean, I use Evernote, but not, I use it for like four things. Recipes, passwords, and I don't know what else.
So for me, there's two and I'll keep it brief. Okay. Kindle, I never use my Kindle app. In theory, I love the idea of being able to read on my phone, but the experience of reading a book on my phone is not ideal to me. Okay. And so I end up carrying around a Kindle if I feel like having a digital book with me or I just carry a book.
Yeah.
And the other one is the Repost app. I mean, I feel like every time I try to use the Repost app, it's like, again, it's like I'm a baby. Like it doesn't intuitively make sense. Like I can't figure out what it's actually like, where is the, if anyone hasn't used it, it's like, it allows you to repost stuff on Instagram. Yeah. So if you really like someone's post or if like, I want to post something from the Mom Hour on my own or whatever, I can use Repost. Mm-hmm. I feel like I don't understand where it's originating. Like what's originating? What is it pulling from your,
so you
know what I mean?
You start an Instagram. Do you know that much? So you start on the Instagram post.
Yeah, because I eventually figure out how to do it. Like you have to get the link or whatever. Yeah. You have to save it. Then you have to open this other app, but then it takes you back to Instagram. That's the part where I get very confused.
Yeah, and then you just hit paste and it'll paste the caption.
I just feel like I never know what I'm doing. Yeah. I feel like every time I'm going to screw it up somehow. Like I'm going to repost it on the same account.
Right.
Or something is going to go wrong.
Yes.
So
fair
it
enough.
Doesn't, it's not, to me, that does not intuitively make sense. But I do use it when I can.
Yeah. No, that totally makes sense. What is your favorite navigation app?
Google Maps.
Okay. Are you a Waze?
I have Waze.
Do you have opinions about Waze?
I just found it to be a little much.
I agree.
Like, I don't need to know that there's a million things that other people decided was worth notating.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it makes me feel like everything I do is just fraught with obstacles. And a lot of times they're not
the
even
psychological implications.
Yeah,
of
no,
Waze.
Seriously. Like, there's a police car up there and like there's maybe an accident and the bad weather and like it's just too much. And I've also found that it's not always up to date. So like, you know, I'm not worried about traffic. Like, we don't have traffic here. Mm-hmm. It's much more likely to be stuff like an accident.
Yeah.
Especially in the winter, or like an exit's closed,
yeah,
or something like that. And I find that I don't know how, when a person who uses Waze marks it, I don't know who then clears it, but I have found that there are things that are way outdated.
Interesting.
On there too. So
yeah, I feel the same way about Waze. I think the people who love Waze are people who live in areas and do commutes where there are multiple ways to get from A to B.
Yes.
And it's helpful because Waze will in real time tell you the best way. I know my brother uses it around Santa Barbara because there's one freeway that's always jammed up, and then there's like a million different back road ways to take, and it'll just tell him which one's the fastest on that given day. It's not that he needs directions. He just needs to know
right
which way is clearest. But Google Maps.
But if there's if there's only one Waze to right get somewhere.
Yeah,
it's kind of, it just makes you feel stressed out about it.
Yeah, I haven't used it in probably years. I like Google Maps as well. You had an idea for an improvement on Google Maps, though. Do you remember that? I thought that was a really good idea.
So I like Google Maps. It just, she's obnoxious. Well, I have a girl. I mean, I don't know what voice you have talking to you.
I think that's the same, yeah.
But I think that it should only talk to you when you don't know where you're going anymore. So I don't know how you would determine that, but I feel like, okay, so I go to Chicago all the time.
Yeah.
I only need someone to guide me for the last 10 minutes, maybe, to get me to my final destination. I know how to get to Chicago. I know how to get into the city.
Yeah, you know how to get out of your hometown.
And I know how to get, right. So what I would almost want is like to drop a pin.
Oh, I like that.
So that Google Maps would only start talking to me once I got to that place.
So
it is annoying especially if you're listening to a podcast or music.
Yes, it's so annoying, or talking on the phone. Yeah. So the workaround that is not perfect, but there is that little button where you can have no alerts, only emergency alerts, like
right,
you know, and then full everything, like tell me everything. So you could turn off alerts until, but then you'd still have to look down at your phone and find that button, and it's a small
right
button.
And I don't like to do that, especially,
I don't either.
And usually that's when I'm getting into the part where it's even harder
exactly
to do that. So
exactly,
it just, yeah. I have a lot of issues with navigation in general, just like the way I feel like it makes me stupider.
Yeah, I agree.
And I have had to train myself out of using it. Like, if I know I'm going to be going to a new place, but I'm going to start going there a lot, I will challenge myself to use Google Maps like the first time, but not again after that, because I have to learn how to get there without it. Like, you start to rely so much that you get stressed out trying to get places, you know, without it. Oh, I should tell the story really quick about when I was in California and I went from your place in Orange County up to Santa Monica.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and I wanted to take the Pacific Coast Highway. Uh-huh. So I toggled highways off.
Yep.
And then forgot to toggle them back on.
And you did. You successfully drove up PCH. And
I did. And it was great.
But
but then the next day when I was leaving Santa Monica and heading to Pasadena, I forgot. And I went into LA. So I forgot to toggle it off. And I'm like an hour and a half like into the drive. I'm in the middle of like Beverly Hills. And I'm thinking, why have I not seen a highway yet? Like, it feels like at some point I would have gotten on a highway.
Yeah.
And then I finally got to my stepbrother's in Pasadena that night. And I thought, I didn't get on a single highway today. And then I thought, oh, duh. But your Brian made a very good point that probably I did just as well as I would have on the highways.
I mean,
and it was a very beautiful drive.
Yeah. And
if it was through
nice neighborhoods, then that's awesome. But
I went through canyons and all kinds of cool stuff.
Okay. What's your favorite weather app? Do you have one? Or do you just
use the standard one? I know there's better ones. Like, I know AccuWeather is better, but I'm fine with the information I get on my weather app. If I wanted more information, I'd honestly probably go to my computer.
Okay. I thought maybe because you do like checking the weather so much, you have but I do have AccuWeather. I have both, and I kind of go back and forth. I like the radar on AccuWeather. We've had a super rainy season. And so it's kind of fun to see those storms move through and like, oh, wow, it's like snow over here. And so the Doppler, the radar has been kind of fun on AccuWeather. But I agree. I was kind of fine for a long time. Okay. Are you still good?
I'm still good.
Okay. Is there a mobile app where you prefer the mobile version over a computer? Now, this is a hard question for you because you usually prefer computers. Is there something that you can think of that works better on a mobile app than what you would do on a browser?
I like that Facebook Messenger is a separate app.
But oh, that's
I don't
a good
have
one.
To open Facebook because I do use Messenger, Facebook Messenger, not a lot, but a fair amount, just like to talk to people that I know, but I don't talk to in other ways.
Okay.
Like the people that are maybe not, I'm not close enough to have a text relationship with, but like who I'd still like to keep in contact with.
Yeah.
And I'm a member of a few little Facebook message, like little groups from shows I've been in and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's convenient. And then I think we both agree Voxer is 100 times
oh,
better.
Oh yeah. Voxer is way, I mean, it's definitely meant to be a mobile and there's several like that. I have had a couple of shopping apps like retail shopping that I like the mobile interface better. And now I went to look in my shopping folder and there's not one, that Jane app that we like. I really like browsing that on mobile. And it's not like their websites are terrible. I think it's, I just feel actually more native on mobile with those, which is surprising because I wouldn't think of myself as someone who shops on my phone, but I like the browsing. Wayfair and All Modern, they both have great mobile apps. So I don't know. And then I also like Twitter for mobile, but that's just because that's how I came to know Twitter. So when I go on Twitter desktop, I'm like, I don't know where I am. I'm like, in my mind, Twitter is just on a phone. So funny.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I use Slack a lot.
Okay.
Slack does have a pretty decent web interface too, like on your, on desktop, but the app is great. So that's another, that's one where it's like another communication device where I use the desktop and the mobile very differently, but I use them both equally, probably equally as much.
And is Slack like Voxer where it's just a browser tab open or does it have like,
It's a browser tab open. Yeah.
Well that let's go do this question then. And that is your favorite communication app, not counting Voxer since we have already established that.
Okay. Well, I mean, I do like Slack a lot, but I use it professionally and I use it in a pretty limited way. So here's a kind of a goofy one.
Okay.
My sister and my two brothers and I have a text thread.
Okay.
That we update all day long. And we don't ever say anything of value in there. I mean, we might be like, oh, I'm coming into town or whatever, but like,
is it just the four of you?
It's just the four of us.
Okay.
It's really goofy. And mostly we just post GIFs. So I had to download a GIF. I think it's called GIF Keyboard.
Okay.
And just so that I could generate GIFs for this text thread. And it kind of becomes competitive, like to see who can come up with the best GIF and you don't want to use the same one twice. And so, yeah, I mean, I know that's not exactly a communication app, but
no, it is
an app that aids communication.
Well, and it's also because you don't, I don't think of you as liking texts very much, but you it sounds like you do have certain groups that are via text.
Like I don't like text, but you can't avoid it. And this is one where when they first started texting me, like I was getting, my phone was blowing up. I was really kind of annoyed for a while, but then I was like, I'm just going to go with it. And so I make it fun by, you know, sometimes I check out and don't even look at it for like a day. And then I'll send like four or five GIFs in a row. And it's just fun.
At least for Apple, the iMessages or whatever the actual official app is, has gotten better about you can like mute conversations where you can go in and check them, but they don't necessarily notify you and stuff like that for big, long groups. I would say for me, you had me on Hangouts for a long time, Google Hangouts, which is just messaging. It's just like text, but you were the only person I communicated with on there. And then we kind of have stopped using it.
We haven't used it like in a month. Isn't that funny?
Yeah. And then, so I would say after Voxer, and I don't use Facebook Messenger the way you described. I don't have, I mean, every once in a while I will get a message through that. And then I usually forget to reply to it because I just don't use it. And so I would say after Voxer, it's just text for me. Pretty much.
And I do use Hangouts still. That's how I communicate with John. That's how I communicate with the kids. I also communicate with the kids with Clara in Voxer.
Yes.
I have a couple friends that I only communicate with in Hangouts, but it used to be a huge part of my life. And I would say now it's definitely much less.
I remember less. When we started like really getting into like multiple times a day communication a few years ago and you were like, can you just get Hangouts? And I was like, sure. But then I literally,
I always had my Gmail open and it was part of my Gmail the way I use it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's an interesting one. Do you have any apps on your phone that control devices outside of the sphere of just, you know, you and your phone, like something in your house, like the way things are starting to be integrated in a smart way?
Well, I mean, I do have the Google Home app. I have never used it besides the day I set it up. I don't even know what I would do with it.
I'm in the same.
What would I do with it? What is it for? I don't even know.
It'll send you, if you ask Google, like if you ask the Google Assistant something and she looks something up for you, like a recipe, she can send it to the app, like send it to you.
Okay.
You can add stuff to a list just like you would.
Oh, yeah.
So you can say, add that to my shopping list and she.
But I could also just do that through. Oh, I see. I could do it on Google Home and then it would send it to my. To the app.
Yep, exactly.
I should look into that. Like I would like that functionality. I think it's just a matter of getting used to it.
I know. And I'm the same. Yeah.
I had Nest for a while and it was kind of funny. Like I got really used to being able to wake up and I did not like Nest for the way it's supposed to be used. I really didn't like that it tried to predict.
Oh, I remember you telling me this. Like it would think that you guys weren't home.
It was in a weird area of the house where people didn't go. So it thought, like, during the day when the kids were gone, it thought I was gone and it would turn the heat off.
Right.
And I would be freezing.
You're
and
like,
I'd have to go and, like, walk in front of it, be like, hey. So I really liked it to just be able to control my Nest from bed, which I did a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I got really used to it. And then for some reason, my Nest stopped communicating with my phone. I could never figure out why. I didn't try that hard, to be honest. But, like, something went awry. Like the login didn't work anymore or something. And I couldn't control my Nest anymore from bed. And like the withdrawal, like the grumpiness that created in me was disproportionate. Like it really wasn't.
Like first world problems to us.
Yes. Like I'm laying in bed super mad because I might have to walk 20 feet to turn my heat up 1 degree or down 1 degree instead of kicking my leg out of the blankets or whatever. Like, It like ruined my sleep practically. And so I don't know, like, I don't like to get to the point where I rely on that stuff so much.
Yeah. No, I was just curious because I feel like so many things are moving that direction. And I think there are some really smart things. I think that's more, I love technology and I love smart stuff, but that is more Brian's territory. He tends to do those things first. We do have Nest for temperature control, but first of all, I don't sleep with my phone by my bed, so I wouldn't do it at night. And usually if I think to change the thermostat, I'm up anyway. And so I actually think it's become unlinked from my phone. Like I think I would have to log in again and then get the password. So I don't either. We don't have like the Ring security that everyone's using where they can like, I know my sister, they were selling their house and she could look at her front door when we were in a totally different city and see the people coming to the open house. Like things like that are where it's starting to be like, ooh, this is crazy.
That's the kind of thing that I would need to be partnered with somebody who cared.
Yeah.
That is not the kind of thing I would care enough about now.
Yeah.
Unless it became so integrated into your life where you didn't have to think about it at all. I just don't see myself using it.
Yeah. And I think the thing with apps is once it presents, it either solves a problem that was so important to you that you're willing to learn a new app or like there's something available via that app that you can't get anywhere else that you really want. Like it's got to be something, there's got to be a reason to, you know, add it and use it and all of that. So does your kid's school have an app? Or your district or anything like that?
You know what? Honest to God, I have no idea.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm not an app-oriented person to begin with. I probably wouldn't download it if they did. I don't have a problem with looking
at the
website.
So ours is pretty essential. So ours
I'm going to guess not.
So ours is like the method of communication. So it's not really optional. So, I mean...
Well, we have It's Learning, but I just get on that through my browser. I don't
do that and I think... Well, and here's one where I actually think that the mobile app has some advantages over the desktop. Ours is called Parent Square, and you can use it both ways. It'll send notifications to your email and you can open it up in your browser. But the mobile app works very much like a messaging app. You can have, you know, like private conversations that texts will pop up. You can get calendar reminders about things at school. And then, you know, then you can open up and kind of scroll a feed like you would scroll a Facebook feed or something with different announcements and stuff. I guess it's not exclusive to the app, but it's definitely mobile oriented where the browser, and they're equal. You could totally get away with just having it on the browser. But I think most parents at our school do use the app because you can because there are some things that will pop up that are, I don't know, you feel like you need to know right away or sign up. All the signups are on there and you can do everything from your phone. So
I will say our school, and this might be, your school just got started a few years ago, right?
Yeah.
So like from the get-go, they were probably able to create systems around that stuff where everyone kind of had to get on the same page.
Right.
Our school district, you are looking at old school teachers who had a hard time even moving to like any kind of a platform. Then they changed platforms. They used one, then they changed and use a different one. And I think it like, it just takes a really long time to get everyone on the same page.
And ours, there was urgency because at first there was nothing and there was so much communication flying everywhere. And then they went through one app that they didn't like. But there was much more, everybody agreed that they needed something. So it was like more, everyone was on board, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just thinking about that too. The other thing is with ours being a district, like everything has to kind of originate
right
the district level, yep. and then it has to spread to five schools.
Yep.
So that's, it's different. Like I can see the stress on everybody. Like I have a lot of teacher friends whenever they decide to upgrade technology.
Right.
It's like, how is this going to, we have all this other stuff we already have to worry about. Now we got to worry about this.
Like, I know. Yeah. Everything.
It's a big deal.
I know. What about Uber versus Lyft? Do you have a preference?
So I am not in a place where I really am in cities that often.
Okay. I feel like I'm always with you when we're in cities.
Yeah. So I have Uber on my phone. I do think that I downloaded Lyft. I'm looking at my phone right now to see if I maybe still have it. I don't think I have it anymore. I think I downloaded Lyft and never set up my payment information. And then I was kind of like, I don't care enough to do this.
I didn't. Well, for me, it was when Uber was getting some really like extra,
I do remember that.
Extra bad press. And I was like, I'm only going to use Lyft. So
well,
you know,
the funny thing is while that was all happening, I didn't ever go someplace where I would need to use one. So I never had to make a decision.
Yeah. And I must have been, for some reason, I feel like I actually did. I was in a place where I was using it. So I used Lyft enough that it, I also liked for a while, you could schedule Lyfts in advance and you couldn't with Uber unless you were doing fancy Uber. That may have changed now, but that was another thing that it solved because we had a couple
and
of like early
tipping.
Morning.
Tipping was a problem on Uber for a while.
Yeah.
I think they've solved that.
I think they have too.
But you had to have cash to tip on Uber.
Right.
And I also got a bunch of free like credits in my Lyft account and they keep emailing me.
Yes.
Every now and then I'll still get an email like, you've got $25 waiting in your account. So I keep thinking I should just go ahead and use it already.
Yeah. And once you're signed up, it's very, I mean, it's equally user-friendly. I liked it.
Right.
Okay. Well, I am almost through my questions. I've been skipping around a little bit. Looking at your phone right now, are there any apps that you feel should just be deleted?
Oh my gosh. Looking at my phone right now, there are so many apps I feel like should be deleted. Okay. So first of all, can we talk about the fact that an Apple phone comes preloaded with completely useless apps you will never use, but you cannot take off?
Yes.
And they look so corny, like the health one.
Yeah.
Find
check your
friends.
Stocks.
What does that even mean? Like what friends?
And like game, the one about
a
games?
Compass? I don't need a compass on my phone.
So have you tried to delete any of these recently? Because I feel like you used to not be able to delete any of them. And now you can delete quite a few.
I have forgotten about them because they're in that extras folder, which to me, again, I don't even see. My
you should
eyes don't
try right now.
It.
Push down hard and see if it'll let you delete them. Because I was surprised.
I'm going to try to get rid of Find Friends because I have friends and I don't need.
What?
Oh my gosh, it let me delete it.
Yeah. So I think this, because I remember being surprised by that too, that you used to not be able to. And now you can delete you can even delete the mail app.
It still won't let me delete health.
It wants you to be healthy.
Or Find iPhone. I would leave that one on anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Getting out of that, I mean, I'm looking at my phone right now. What this does is remind me of things like I get into for a hot second and then completely forget about. Like, remember the arts and culture app when everyone was into that, like the Google Arts and Culture thing?
No, I don't remember that at
all. It was like, it got really famous. It would show you a painting or something.
Oh,
people were really getting into it.
That.
I downloaded it and then never probably ever opened it again. I have the No Wait app, which is kind of like, it's kind of like Open Table.
Okay.
But around here, the only restaurants that allow you to make reservations, it's not even really reservations. It's like you kind of get in line.
Mm-hmm.
So like you don't have to like be there waiting in the lobby. You can get in line from home and then it'll tell you how many people are ahead of you. I only probably use it twice a year, but I have a couple times had to re-download it, which is super annoying. So I just leave it on there.
Yeah.
Gosh. Oh, Shipt. You know how I love Shipt, right? But I never order on the app. I like to be able to be on my computer when
that makes sense.
Grocery shopping. So I never use the app. But it is convenient to be able to check and see when my stuff is coming and everything else. So what about you?
I think right now I'm pretty well curated where there's not a ton I need to delete. One thing that I have deleted in the past and always kick myself is any travel apps. So when I'm traveling, I really do like to have the airlines app installed on my phone and signed in, which is a pain because you got to remember like what's my Rapid Rewards number or whatever.
Right.
But once you are, it's so nice. And so I finally, it's the type of app I would go through and delete when I thought I was cleaning house. And then sure enough, like even if I only fly United Airlines like once every 2 years, it's so nice to have it on there because I feel like when you are in the airport, that's the fastest way to check your flight status.
Yeah.
I prefer not to do things in a browser on my phone. I feel like it's glitchy. It takes mm-hmm. forever to load. So if there's an app that makes it easy, I want it. So now with travel apps, I have a ton of them on there. VRBO, Airbnb, like every airline, but I keep them because the next time I'm traveling and need that, it's there. So,
and also I just traveled both United and American recently. And I think both of those, if you want to access any of the free entertainment, you have to have the app downloaded before you get
before
on the plane.
You go.
Which I wouldn't even have thought of because Southwest doesn't make you do that. And I usually fly Southwest. So that's also good to know.
Yeah.
I have to tell you the funniest, now that we're talking about this, the funniest app I just like locked in.
Okay.
I have Minesweeper on my phone.
Oh, wait, remind me what that is.
It's a super corny old game from like the early computer days.
Yeah.
And I downloaded it because I really wanted something mindless to do right before I fell asleep at night.
Uh-huh. Like,
and you know, it's so mindless. I will play three games and zonk out.
It's not going to like rope you in.
No, it's boring.
Yeah.
It's not a fun game.
It's not
addictive. It's just something to do. Right. But I downloaded it and it's been on my phone probably now 6 months, 9 months. It's been a long time. So I should start playing it again or I should probably just delete it.
Or it's so boring that it put you.
Sometimes really boring things serve a purpose.
That totally. Well, I'll mention a couple that just didn't fit into any of these categories, but that are worth mentioning for me. And if you have any while I'm talking that come up before we wrap, I use the TimeHop app, which I like much better than Facebook Memories. So TimeHop came first. It shows you your photos on this day in history. So we're recording this on March 7th. I open it up once a day and it shows me all the things I either posted to social media, but also I have it linked to my Google Photos. So it's actually any photos I took on that day in history. Mm-hmm. And I love it. It's always, there's always oldies, but goodies in there. It always brings back memories. And I shouldn't say not ever. I post photos on Facebook of my kids like three times a year, the first day of school, Halloween, and like one other time. So Facebook Memories doesn't do it for me because I just don't post enough, but it's the same idea for those of you who get Facebook Memories. So that is such a good one. Takes a little bit to like link it up to all your different places where you put photos, but then it's just like, it's like a little dose of happy every day.
I love it.
And then I also, my favorite photo editing app is Snapseed. And I didn't know that was a Google product. So go figure. I think
it is.
Yeah. Google bought it. I think it probably wasn't originally.
Is this one of the ones you downloaded after reading Jill Krause's book?
So yeah. So I'm not going to give, so I already had Snapseed and I already used it, but Jill Krause's book taught me way more, like how to use Snapseed way better. So I've improved my Snapseed. And then she has a couple other go-to apps that are amazing that she recommends that I won't give away. But I was already a Snapseed user. And that is one that does integrate nicely with Google Photos because it's a Google product. So
I have to share, this is funny, when on my last day of that crazy yoga challenge.
Yes.
That I did it. I did 60.
Yes, you did.
Yoga classes in 59 days. Go Megan. I sent Sarah a picture to clean up for me of the inside of the studio because I wanted to post like a little, you know, mini essay about it.
Yeah.
And you made the picture look amazing, but I felt the need after I posted it to go in and explain because like I was thinking my yoga instructor who owns the studio is going to see this and be like, what happened to the exit sign? Where's all, you like took out an exit sign, you took out a human, you took out like you changed the lighting. Like it was amazing what you were able to do with that photo. But then I had this moment of self-consciousness, like, I should probably point out that they're up to code.
I didn't even think about that. I'm just like purely thinking of aesthetics.
Yes, so it was just kind of funny.
If you guys wonder what we're talking about too, I can link up Jill's book again too, because she was a sponsor on the show a couple weeks ago and I've been raving about it. Okay, so that was photos. Gosh, I feel like we should wrap up. But we will have a lot to link to in the show notes because we will link to all the apps we mentioned. We would love to hear what you guys think of our favorite apps and what your favorite apps are. You can email us hello@themomhour.com or leave a comment in the show notes or on social, wherever you find us. We are The Mom Hour. Also, real quick before we wrap, we are getting ready to record our 200th episode.
Woo-hoo.
And making it kind of a celebration for this community. We've been talking about it on social, but if you haven't heard, we are collecting your voicemails talking about what you've learned from this show. It doesn't have to be maybe something one of us said, but something that one of our guests said, or just a nugget of wisdom that you have learned. What we've all learned from each other is kind of how we're structuring that 200th episode. So
yeah,
you've been meaning
fun
to leave us a message. We'll link up in the show notes how to do that. And we are recording in just a few days from when this comes out. So we would love to hear your lovely voices and play them on our 200th show.
We would.
All right. Thanks, Megan.
Thanks. I will talk to you soon.